Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
We're in the second week of our series, Overwhelmed. And whether it's with our schedule gets overbooked, or we feel pressure on the job, or we've just finished Christmas and we started paying that credit card bill this month, no matter what, there are times that we begin to feel overwhelmed. And so we're in a series about how we can manage our resources, including our time, how we can manage our resources in a way that honors God. We're in a series on how we can honor God with all that we have. And last week we talked about less is more. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. This week we're talking about stress is bad. How many of you here, you love stress? Next week, tomorrow matters. So will you guys say those three topics with me? Will you say less is more, stress is bad, tomorrow matters? Let's say it together. Less is more, stress is bad, tomorrow matters. So financial stress is a bad thing, right? Financial stress is a bad thing. But in doing research on debt load, I found out this week that the city of Dallas is the number two city in the nation in regards to credit card debt load. In other words, the amount of income versus the amount of credit card debt, second in the entire country. Financial stress is a bad thing, and that when we get in this stress, we feel overwhelmed. But in regard to financial stress, I want to tell you a few things as a pastor for 25 years, a few things I've never heard. I've never heard anybody say, man, my marriage is so much better with all this debt. We used to always fight and not have any debt. Now that we have all this debt, man, we never fight. You never hear people say, wow, with all these payments everywhere on cars and house and TV, all these payments, man, we're never stressed. I sleep every night so peacefully thinking about my high level of credit card interest rates. Man, now that we have these high payments, our love life is even better. Right? High credit card debt, okay, right? You stress over money. Did you know that money is the number one stressor and arguing topic point in marriage? And we have all this stress, and we say, I used to be debt-free, and I hated it, so I got in a ton of debt, and life is way better. You never hear that. But you want to know what we do here? Man, I would love to be able to help people. I just can't. I would love to be able to give more, to give to missions, to give to the building fund, maybe give to something like Kingdom Builders. I would love, my heart wants to do that. I just can't. I wish we could travel as a family. I wish that maybe one of us could stay home with the kids and that we could have a one income family, but it's just impossible. That, you know, I really am tired of fighting over finances and things being so tight. I wish that it wasn't this way. Those are things we hear. And so people have financial stress, and financial stress is bad. But the truth is, guys, so often we just don't have an understanding of how money works. I have a very close friend that he goes into marriage in his late 20s, and he has between $18,000 and $20,000 of credit card debt. And he ends up marrying a girl who has $12,000 to $16,000 worth of credit card debt. They end up getting married and combining that debt, and they never thought about, in the process of getting that debt, how much it would cost them in interest payments. And they merge that life together. Or the young guy who comes out of college and gets his dream job right out of college, and the first thing he does, Dan, is he buys a brand new truck for $48,000. And though he could afford the payment on it because he had a good job, he financed it for, listen to this, he financed it for 19 months at, 19% for 72 months. So by the time he paid that off, he's paying $81,000 on a $48,000 truck if he waits till the end to pay it off. But by the time it's paid off, the truck is only going to be worth about $12,000 or $13,000. All of that interest, and that we just don't understand how it works. And then money, we don't want to talk about it. You know, when you're a pastor and you talk about three topics, people tend to get tense. Money, raising kids, or marriage, that we tend to kind of get tense in those areas. We don't want to talk about it. We feel embarrassed, or we're afraid to ask for help, or we're just going to pretend that the trouble's not there. It's going to go away, and eventually we start to feel overwhelmed and helpless and hopeless in regards to our finances. And we began to understand the principle of Scripture that's laid out in Proverbs 22:7, where it says this: the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Another version said he's subject to. It's like a king and his subject, that he is a slave to the lender. And so when we owe, that we're in bondage to the lender. So it's not just that less is more, that, you know, if one's good, two is not always better. It's not just less is more, but it's that stress is bad in our lives. And we don't want to live our lives as bondage to someone else. And so today, I'm asking you as a pastor to take this incredibly seriously. That when we talk about finances, sometimes we think, hey, I can't get out. Hey, it's just the way it is. Hey, we just have to have these things. I'm asking you to do this. Take steps to get out of debt. And you say, man, we could never get fully out of debt. Then what I'm saying is take steps to reduce your debt, consolidate debt. And if you're young, and if you're out of debt and you don't have debt, take steps to avoid it, to live as debt-free as possible. And I want to tell you, it is possible. Because I believe that God wants something more for us than living with the heavy stress of heavy debt. Imagine this. Imagine if you were able to live your life rid of financial stress. Think about that just for a minute. Can you imagine living your life with rid of the stress of debt and financial stress? So you're living below your means, you're living conservatively, and then you have the opportunity to buy something and you're able to buy it cash because you've been living below your means and taking steps to be debt-free. Or what if you see someone who has need, that they need something, and you're saying, hey, I'm willing to jump in and help. Why? Because I'm living below my means. I'm living and I'm able to give a helping hand in their moment of need. Or what about that something breaks in your home or in your car, and instead of stressing over it, you say, hey, let's just get this fixed because we've prepared for this moment by living below our means. Or what if you say, hey, I want to take a trip. And instead of like putting it on your card and it just building on your debt, you're saying, hey, do we want to go to Florida or do we want to go to Colorado? We have options because we've prepared for this moment and we're rid of this stress because we're below our means and prepped for what's coming ahead. Can you imagine living our lives with so much stress because we've handled our finances, our resources, our time well? Guys, the Bible is incredibly practical. The Bible gives us incredibly wisdom. It said, hey, it's better just to have one handful and be peaceful and tranquil than having two handfuls and you're having, you know, turmoil and chasing after the wind. You can't capture what you're trying to get. Just practical. And so what I want to encourage you is that if the practical side of this doesn't motivate you, if it doesn't motivate you to arrange finances in a way, then I, as a Christ follower, I want to encourage you to look at the spiritual side of it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, it says, whoever's faithful with a little, and he'll let us be ruler over much. That if we are faithful and wise with the resources that we have, he's going to allow us to have more. And then here's the deal. When we handle our finances well, it is a way to worship and to serve and to honor and to please God. So if the practical side isn't enough, what about the spiritual side of it? Faithful with the little things, he'll be trusted with more. And my desire for us today as we go through this, as we look at the spiritual side of this, my desire is that we want more than the debt and the stress of it all. We want something more, something better than keeping up with the Joneses in order to have what they have. That we want something more than just simply a massive debt on the stuff that deteriorates. Why? Because less is more, stress is bad, and tomorrow matters. So let's look at the spiritual side of the topic. And here's why I want to look at the spiritual side of it. Because when we in our hearts get right with God, get our hearts in tune with God, that we get our spirit in tune with the Holy Spirit, then it allows us a lot more, it's just a lot more ease to then live it out in our everyday lives. So when we get our hearts right, in tune with God, on the spiritual side, it helps the practical side play out better. It's the same way in any area. You say, hey, I have so much anger in my heart. I have so much anger. I lash out. How many of you lash out with your words? I mean, that's something that happens. But if our heart is in tune with God and our spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit, then what happens is it's so much easier to live out the practical with less anger. Or you say, hey, I have the things that run through my mind are so vulgar, and then it leads me to, and so crude, and I just... there's things that I see that I shouldn't see, and I go and I pursue that I shouldn't pursue, that as our heart gets in tune with God and our spirit with the Holy Spirit, then suddenly we're able to live out the practical side of it, the earthly side of that, so much better when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same way with our resources, our time, our schedule, and our finances. So today we're going to talk about three prayers getting out of debt, three prayers of honoring God with our treasure and our gift and our lives. So if you're taking notes today, this is incredibly important on the spiritual side of it. The first prayer that we pray is this: God, give me self-control. God, give me self-control. Why is this so important? If you look at the verse in your notes, it says this in Proverbs 25, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. In biblical times, a city without walls was incredibly vulnerable. That there are stories that we hear of Jerusalem that they would harvest their fields and have their grain in their barns, and bandits would come in because there was no wall. They would come in and steal the food, so the people are hungry. The people are impoverished because they were vulnerable because there was no protection. In the same way, when we have no self-control, our lives are vulnerable, and ultimately financially, we're going to live in poverty because why? We have no self-control over what we're spending. And so all of us have an inner two-year-old that's living inside, right? They're saying, I want it and I want it now. I was at a conference recently and I was walking in the lobby in between sessions, and there was a mother with her two-year-old child. And the two-year-old child is crying and wanting something. She's trying to console him. She's trying to correct him quietly as the hundreds of people are walking through the hallway. And all of a sudden, this two-year-old boy falls on the ground and starts going, I want it! And he's kicking his feet and he's flailing his arms. Man, I wanted to whip him for her. I don't think that's allowed, so I didn't do it. But man, I was thinking, oh, I would be whipping. I'm sorry, for all of you against corporal punishment, you're going to have to deal with it. But he's laying there going, I want it, Mom, I want it. There wasn't any awareness of anything else around him. There wasn't awareness of anyone else. There wasn't awareness that there was a bigger prize at the end of the journey. She was saying, if you'll just hold off, he's wanting refreshments that are in the lobby, I'm going to take you to Chick-fil-A. Not realizing, man, that nappy, like, you know, what was it, Frito pie that they had in the lobby was nothing compared to Chick-fil-A. The little play area, I like the play area. And sometimes that's how we are with the things that we want, that we're not aware of the bigger picture, of the high interest rate, of the stress that comes. We're not aware that if we'll just hold off for a little while, we'll look at a broader picture, there's something better down the road. So I want to encourage you, everyone in here, lock up the inner two-year-old and have a bigger picture in mind in regards to your finances. So ladies, when you're walking through the mall and you see the clearance rack, you don't have to have that. And don't try to convince your husband, look how much money I saved you by buying for this on sale. Men, you don't have to break the bank with the new house or the bigger car or the nicer thing. We don't have to do that. Tamara and I have different areas of strength and weakness with our finances. We've always done pretty well. We've always been ultimately conservative with our finances, but we have different strengths and weaknesses. And when we first got married, we really balanced each other out. So I would nickel and dime us to death, right? I would maybe say, okay, we're heading home. Let's stop by and get something to eat. Let's go get this a soft drink, or let's get McDonald's. I still love McDonald's. Don't judge me. I still love their fries and their quarter pounder with cheese. Oh. Let's dismiss in prayer. I need to go to McDonald's. But I would nickel and dime us on some small things and maybe go get this or that. And she wasn't having it. She was like, we are not getting that. We're eating at home. You can wear the shirt you had last month. I mean, it was like, there's no nickel and diming. If it wasn't in the budget, we're not doing it. She's putting it in the bank. So she balanced me out there. But then her weakness was, once it's in the bank and it's accumulated, suddenly, oh, we've got enough for a new couch. And we got enough for a dresser or all new dishes. But for me, once it's in the bank, it ain't coming out, girl. It's in the bank. It's staying in the bank. And so we balanced each other out because we were saying this. Here is ultimately how we were helping each other grow. We're saying, if we say no for a little while, we can say yes for the rest of our lives. That if we say no for right now, then we can say yes for the rest of our lives. That if we say no right now, that we're not going to get our nails done once a week. Not me. She isn't going to get her nails done once a week. That I'm not going to get the golf club membership. That I'll go to the public course every other month. Maybe as a foodie that you want to go out every other night and instead you move it to every other week. And that $5 cup of coffee, I love coffee, but maybe we say no for a while so that we can say yes forever. Maybe that your child doesn't get the iPhone. I know that's not child abuse, trust me, to not give them the smartphone. And instead of taking trips every weekend, we move it to every other month because we're saying no for a little while to say yes for the rest of our lives. God, give me self-control. And I heard a saying this week that I really loved. It said, if you'll live like no one else, one day you can live and give like no one else. So in other words, if you live conservatively, well within your means, putting back for an emergency fund, putting back for cash purchases, putting back for retirement, that if you live like no one else underneath your means, then on the other end of it, you can give and live like no one else. We say no for a little while. We always tithe. We always give, but no for a little while. Maybe less clothes. Maybe buy used clothes. Maybe you sell some of the clothes you have or give them away and bless them with someone else to learn to live with less is more. Something that Tamara and I did a year ago. We have all of my family and all of my sister's family and my mom and in-laws, and we have big Christmas together. And for years that there was pressure for everyone to buy everyone gifts. And a year ago, we went to the family and we said, hey, we're going to put everybody's name in a hat. We're going to draw them out, and we're going to have a $15 limit and one person buying a gift for others. And so half the family, 3/4 of the family was like, oh, thank God. And the one who didn't like it, they dealt with it because we're saying, hey, less is more in this whole process than more is not more. No credit card debt. And so if we began to do those things as men and women of God, And then we begin to get out of debt. Then later on, you can buy the car you want. Then later on, not only can you get your nails done, but you can treat all the ladies in the office to getting their nails done because you don't have any debt that you're paying off. That if we learn to say no for a little while, we can say yes for the rest of our lives. God, give me self-control. Less is more, stress is bad, and tomorrow matters. Second prayer that I want us to walk through today is this. Is God, give me understanding. So many times we don't understand how the numbers work and how debt compounds against us or for us, depending on how we have our money working. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, if we're really honest, that verse is not applying to our finances. It's applying to a completely different topic here. But the principle of being destroyed for lack of understanding, that principle can carry over to what we're talking about here, that we're bound financially at times by our lack of understanding. In America, of those who are carrying credit card balances, that's not for those who are not. It's not for me and for some that are not carrying debt. But for those who are carrying credit card debt, the average debt is just around $16,000 of credit card debt. So for some, you're saying, I'm doing really good. Others are like, oh man, $16,000. But I want us to look at the numbers of how compounding interest works for or against us. So let's just say you have that $16,000 of credit card debt and you're paying the payment of $250 a month at 19%, that it will take you 40 years to pay that off. Not only will it take you 40 years, you will end up paying $105,000 of interest. Wow. Lord, help us not to get in debt like that or to get out of it if we are. But let me turn the other side. Let's just say you have $16,000 to invest. Let's just say you have that, and so you're saying, I could never have $16,000. I'm never going to have $16,000 extra to invest. Let's just say you have that, and you take that $16,000 a year at 12% over 40 years. If you just leave it alone for 40 years, so those in your 20s, you have that, and you leave it alone for 40 years, you're going to end up with just under $1.5 million that has accrued over time. So now let's say that you take that $250 that you were paying on debt, no longer paying on debt, and you're paying that into this account. At the end of 40 years, you're going to have around $4 million saved and invested. And let me tell you then, you can get your nails done every week. Right? Because that's compounding interest working against you or working for you. And it all depends on how we handle our money and the self-control. So we're saying, God, give me self-control. God, give me understanding so that I can worship you. I can honor you. I can please you with the things that you've trusted me with. Because guys, you realize that what we have, God has blessed us with. He's blessed us with the job or the talent to do. He's blessed us with provision. He's blessed us with those things. And so they're really his that we get to steward. And so we're saying, God, give me self-control that I worship you with these things. Give me understanding so that I can handle them well and can honor you with what you've blessed me with. And then last but not least, if you're taking notes today, the last prayer is, Lord, give me a plan. God, how do I make my treasure that you've given me work? God, how do I learn to live within the income that you've blessed me with? How do I pay down my debt? How do I live on what I make? All of these things. In Proverbs 21:5 says this, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as the haste leads to poverty. So again, the plans of the diligent lead to good or to advancement, to profit, to better, but haste leads to poverty. So what is haste? That man, I was feeling down, so I went shopping. A little retail therapy, right? Or you know what? I walked into the car dealership, and man, I smelled those new cars, and man, I got that warm, fuzzy feeling, and man, that salesman, he pressured me, and I didn't have a plan, and so I walked out with a $48,000 truck straight out of college. That's haste. Haste is the, hey, well, I deserve it. I've had a tough week mentality. That's haste. Haste is the, hey, they have it. Why can't I have it? Haste. Not having a plan. So I want us to capture today that we can wander into debt, but we can't wander out of debt. We can accidentally fall into debt. We can't accidentally get out of debt. We can mistakenly trip up and find ourselves in debt. We can't trip up and find ourselves out of debt. There has to be a plan that we step into. And so for us, we need a plan. It's biblical. It's spiritual for us to get a plan, because the plans of the diligent lead to profit, lead to progress, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Maybe you need to find a Financial Peace University class and take that. Maybe you just borrow the one that the church has, 13-week course, the new ones are 9, and you borrow it, check it out, go through the class for 9 weeks and find some ways to pay down debt, find some ways to get an emergency fund, find some ways to kind of snowball the paying off of credit cards and cars and get some savings, invest in retirement. Lord, give us a plan. Because the plan of the diligent brings gain and haste brings poverty. I love those here at Grace Hill that I've seen go through a plan. And it was beautiful to see as they began to knock off one credit card and then another. And then they began to knock off school loan. And then they knocked off car payments. And they paused on buying a home. And they paused on buying cars. And they paused on buying this to work the plan. And then you see as they've got the last school bill, the last school loan that they're paying off. What a beautiful moment that was to see. Because there was a plan. And so that's the cry of our heart. Lord, give us a plan, because when we plan, we can maximize our money. We can maximize for retirement. We can maximize for later. We can maximize for missions giving. We can maximize for kingdom builders. We can maximize for helping the neighbor down the road. We can maximize for not living with stress, because stress is bad, and we live with tranquility because we're making the most of what God has blessed me with. This isn't a matter of wealth or poverty. This isn't a matter of having a lot or a little. This is totally a matter of maximizing what God has blessed us with. It's incredibly spiritual. I know that when we talk about money, we tend to go, ooh, we tend to tense up. And I want to say, don't. The Bible talks about it. And we're just saying this is a very spiritual thing that we do to honor God with our resources and make the most of it. So what are we going to do? We're going to say no for a little while so that we can say yes for our lifetime. This is incredibly spiritual, where we're saying, God, give us the wisdom for self-control. God, give us understanding of how it all works. And God, give us a plan. Now look, it's easy to desire more. It's easy to say, hey, they've got that. Why can't I have that? It's easy for us to think, okay, if I don't have this, what will they think of me? My neighbors have more, or my coworkers have more. What will they think of me? And I know the insecurity of that. I'm sure that there's pain that goes with that. I want to, Lord, it's easy for us to fall into. But I want us to understand this today. We serve a faithful God. I want to say that again. Guys, we serve a faithful God. And that as we begin to put him first, as we begin to seek him, as we begin to pursue him, as we begin to live our lives in a way that are in line with him, it's amazing how he honors our faith. It is absolutely amazing how he begins to honor our faith, and he blesses us in ways that we could never imagine. He begins to bless and provide in ways that we never thought, and we see his faithfulness, and we see things begin to change. I could never get out of debt, and then we begin to see his faithfulness help us chip away at that. That we could never, ever, like at one time we were thinking we could never find a facility, and the Lord blessed Grace Hill as a church as we were supporting missions in a church plant in Michigan, that he gave us $200,000 at this campus and allowed us to move into this facility. And then it's amazing how he, as we're faithful to him and we honor him, his faithfulness becomes very evident to us. So we know stress is bad, less is more, and tomorrow matters. And the prayer of our hearts should be this: I will be completely faithful to him because he's been faithful to us. That I'll love him with my whole heart because he has loved me so much. That he gave us Jesus so that we could eternally live with him in heaven and that we could be with him. And our only reasonable response to his love and his faithfulness and the giving of his son, our only reasonable response is to worship him with everything that we have, to give him everything. And so today, let's understand, he blesses with income, he blesses with resources, he blesses with abilities in order to do these things, and that we'll be faithful with what he's given us. I'm not even saying faithful to give back. I'm saying we'll be faithful to maximize it, to make the most, to be wise with it, to have self-control, to get a plan, to get understanding. We'll be faithful to make the most of what he's blessed us with. Now, we've all made bad financial decisions, amen? How many of you have ever made a bad financial decision? Man, it doesn't matter how much we've blown it or how much we've neglected godly principles. Man, he is a redeeming and loving God who will help us get out of that financial bondage. So today, the goal is for us to live in freedom so that we can be generous to the Lord as he's been generous with us. We can be generous with those around us in kingdom purposes as he has been generous with us. You guys, for just a moment, would you bow your heads? I want us to pray together. I'm just going to ask a real honest question here. And so if you would just respond. This isn't between you and me as much as it is between you and an acknowledgement to the Lord. But you say, hey, you know what? I need wisdom with finances so I can honor God with my treasure. That's you. Just raise your hand across the auditorium. I need to make some changes. I need some wisdom. I need some help. We're not good at it. I need some help. Or we just need God's provision. That's good. Yeah, all across the room. All across the room. Maybe it's like we need to do our budget better. Maybe we need to pay off our debt. Maybe we need to learn some discipline and lock up that two-year-old that's begging for everything that we whimsically want. Maybe it's just saying no to for now so you can say yes later. Father, you see every hand that was raised. And God, your love is too great. Your calling is too big. Our lives are too short for us to live under the weight of massive debt. Your calling is too good and you're great and your love is too good and your mercy is so amazing and our lives are too short for us to live with this stress and the tension that comes with that of being overloaded financially. So Lord, help us to realize less is more. Stress is bad. Help us to have the cry of our hearts saying, Lord, give me self-control. The cry of our hearts saying, Lord, give me understanding. The cry of our hearts saying, Lord, help me to have a plan so that I can honor you with all that you've blessed me with. That I can please you and worship you and serve you with the way that I handle the treasure you've given me. Today, lead us and guide us in that. And Lord, you see each hand that was raised. I pray that you would strengthen them. And Lord, let this not be, Lord, a stressful time, but a time in which we're saying, hey, we're going to get a plan. We're going to get it in line. We're going to find a financial peace university class. We're going to rent it, borrow it from the church. We're going to check it out and we're going to go through it and we're going to get a plan in order to bring our finances in line with you. Let it not be a stressful time, but one, Lord, of vision and strength and empowering as they move forward to honor you with your resources that you've trusted us with. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God, and we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.